Good morning. Today's daf in Beis Yosef Lamed. We begin this morning the fourth parak of the Masechta. There are five parakim in total. We are approaching the end. There are 40 blot within the Masechta. So in terms of daf, and we are three quarters done with the Masechta. The fourth parak is going to continue along the discussion of Uvdu Dechol. So again, it's a balance. It's a tight balance between enjoying Yontov, having Simchas Yontov, but at the same and allowing ourselves a lot of the heterim of Yontov. All the heterim of Ochel Nefesh that we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and at the same time also preserving the Kedushas Hayom. It's still Yontov, and we want to make sure that people understand that it's still Yontov. The Chachamim wanted us to recognize that it's Yontov, and therefore, even though there are activities which are perfectly mutter, but the Chachamim wanted us to do it in a way that's just going to give us a constant state of awareness that it's Yontov. And what I'm trying to articulate, express, is the idea of Uvdin Dechol. This category, which admittedly is really hard to define, is that the Chachamim, when they felt that an activity was just too weekday, was too mundane, it was a vachadik activity, so they tempered it and they said, don't do it in that manner, but do it in this manner, only so that we try to preserve this balance. With that stated, we've been discussing it now for the last number of dapim in the Masechta, chav ches, chav tes, and today's daf lamed as well. A lot of Uvnin Dechol discussions. So Hamevi Kadiyin, the first mission here in the fourth paragraph of the Masechta. Hamevi Kadiyin, Mimakam Lamakam Lo Yivim Besal Vakupa Aval Mevi Hu Al Ketefo O Lefanov. So you're simply transporting. It's schlepping, right? You're within Tchum. You're within there's no Hotzah issue of Yantiv, and so therefore there's no problem with the carrying itself. It just happens to be that you're schlepping. Okay, now schlepping, this I don't have to argue that strongly. Everyone clearly resonates with this idea. Schlepping is a weekday activity. Okay, you schlep during the week, right? Last night, so I was a professional schlepper. So my schach and, the garbages and everything. So good, so it's a weekday activity. So on Yontif, so despite the fact that you are going to be schlepping, but you should do so in a tempered manner. So the Mishnah says, so... when you don't carry it besal v'kupa, don't carry it in a basket. And Rashi over here mentions that it really is a bit of a numbers game. Rashi writes over here, second Rashi in the Mishnah, Lase shalosh v'arba besal v'kupa v'yesaim, to put 3 and 4 in a basket and to carry it in that manner. So don't do in that manner. Mishum denir kemaisa dechol lases masos, because again, it looks like you're schlepping, and that's what we do during the week. Aval. Maybe Akhtefo Lafanov. And Rashi explains over here, what you're going to do is bring it one or two at a time, and you carry it in your hand. And now you are no longer violating the Issa Durabban and Uvdin Dechol. Vechain, back to the Mishnah. Vechain Amolachas Ateven. Same thing when you're transporting grain. So, Lo Yavshil Asakupa Lacharav. Don't put the basket behind you. Aval Meviyah Ubiyado. So again, you're going to carry it in your hands. Umatchil. And then the Mishnah makes one more point. And that is matzchilim b'arei masatevna v'lo be'etzim shebemoksa. Now, in terms of tevin, so straw you can use for one of two things. You could use it for kindling. You could also use it to feed your animals. So you could start b'arei masatevna. Now, that means as follows. You have a pile of straw. You haven't dipped into the pile yet. And going into Yontov, you haven't perfectly designated the fact that you're using it for Yontov. But the Mishnah says, but that's fine. In other words, even though you haven't totally assigned it for Yontov usage, but you can assume that it's good for Yontov. Or, let's put it in other terms, the Mishnah is relaxed as it relates to the topic of Muktzah, meaning it sounds like Rabbi Shimon. But then the Mishnah says, but what about the wood in the Muktzah? Now, the word Muktzah over here in the Mishnah, it's confusing, I admit. The word Muktzah over here is a reference not to the Muktzah term in terms of how we generally use it throughout our Masechta. Muktzah over here is a reference to the backyard. Right? The backyard is called a Muktzah. Okay, back in the day, so the front yard got most of your usage. We saw in Erevin, we went over this idea time and again, that people use their chatzar. Chatzar is in the front yard. The backyard is not where people keep things. So it's called muksa, and probably it's called muksa because muksa, like the term indicates, something that you really are not planning on using. Anyway, so the wood in the backyard, so that you're not allowed to use on Yontif, because it's muksa. Meaning to make a sentence now that makes sense. So the wood in the muksa is muksa. Okay. So now that of course is confusing because that phrase in the Mishnah sounds a little bit more like Rav Yehuda, who was more machmir when it comes to muksa. And I'm just setting ourselves up for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to make this point that the Mishnah is confusing Meaning when it comes to Tevin, the Mishnah is signing more like Rabbi Shimon. And when it comes to wood, the Mishnah is signing more like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Gemara is going to note that, and the Gemara is going to try to make sense of our Mishnah. Tana. So what do we say? That when transporting, when schlepping, so you should do so b'shinui. You should do so with a deviation. So the Gemara opens up with a braisa, and that is imi efshel shanos mutter. Now, if you can't deviate, in other words, there's just simply no alternative, you have to do it in this manner. So, okay, fine, it's not a ma'akev, meaning that as much as possible, we should try to do it in an irregular fashion. But if you can't do it in a regular fashion, we'll give examples in just a moment. So then it's okay. In other words, you'll schlep without making a shinui. We'll come back to that braisa in just a moment. Itkin Rava Mechuza. So in the town of Mechuza, Rava Zamar Da'asra, and Rava made the following institutions. Meaning, basically, he stipulated. He told the members of his community, look, I'll clearly outline what it means to do something in an irregular manner on Yontif. The Daru Beducha. Now, over here, the terms that are used over here are not terms that we're used to. Rashi goes through these terms. I'm going to just cover it the way Rashi covers it. So let's say normally the person carries on his shoulder. So Lirdu Beragla. So then what you should do is you shouldn't carry something on your shoulder, but you should carry it Beragla. Now, Ragla in Aramaic usually means a foot, but in this context over here, it's not a reference to a foot. It's a reference to some sort of pitchfork. That's the way Rashi explains it. Didar Beragla, something's normally carried with a pitchfork. So Lidru Ba'agra, so then what you should do is carry it using some sort of stick or staff. Again, I'm not totally clear exactly the method of transporting, but what I am clear about, however, because Rashi says really clearly, it's a shinui. It's just a deviation. And Rashi says, by the way, that when we're deviating, so is there a goal in deviation? Yeah. In other words, not to do it like we do it on Yontif, but Rashi says all these ways that we're deviating makes it a little bit easier to carry, which only prompts me to ask the question, if it's easier to do it in the regular fashion, why would you ever do it in the standard fashion? But okay. Anyway, Didar Ba'agra, if you normally carry it using a pole or a staff, so Lirdu Ba'achba. Or Achba, says Rashi, also is a kind of polar staff. The previous one, the former one is one that's carried usually by two people. The latter one's carried by one person. Okay. And Didar Ba'achba, and if you normally carry it with an Achba, Nifro Sudra Lave. So there really can't change much in terms of how it's carried. But what you'll do is you'll take some sort of handkerchief, you'll put some sort of towel on top of it. And that'll be shinui. Meaning, and Rashi points out over here, it's not going to help you in terms of carrying it, but again, it's just a shinui. It's just showing that we're doing so in a regular manner. V'im lo efshar. So now, let's say, for whatever reason, there is just simply no other deviation that's available. And let's say we're at the last form of transportation, and I don't have a towel. And I don't have some sort of shmata to put over it. So then it's going to be mutter. Why? Damramar. Because we're going to go back and invoke the brisa that we just quoted moments earlier. And that is in E, Efshel Hashanah's mutter. If you can't deviate, it's fine. So in other words, you should try to make a shinui, but if you can't make a shinui, that would be okay. So Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Rav Ashi, Amalei Rabbanan. So, okay, good. So the Gemara now is basically setting up. So I got the idea that when schlepping, so you should do it with a shinui. So the Gemara says, so I have a question. Meanwhile, the women in our community, okay, he's writing out the women. Okay. Anyway, the women in our community, so when they fill up their jugs with water, they're not doing any shinui, and we don't say anything to them. So, what's going on over here? Our women aren't following halacha? We're not giving the proper tochacha? So, Amarle's, Rav Ashi's response to the comment section. It's not just a comment section, but it is a genuine interest in following the halacha. And so, what's going on? Amarle Mishum Delo Afshar. So, Rav Ashi's answer is basically, look, what do we learn together? We just learned together that if a deviation is not possible, so then it's okay. And over here, I'm telling you, a deviation is not possible. And now the Gemara is going to go through a number of possibilities of how the women could have done a shinui, but Rav Ashi is going to point out they're all ineffective ways of doing a shinui, and so therefore they're left to doing it in the regular fashion. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chalavi, Demalia Bechatz V'Rabba." So what should they do? Should they get larger jugs? So the Gemara says, "That's terrible. That's a terrible idea." If they already are using larger jugs, so tamale bechatzva zuta, use smaller jugs. So the Gemara says kamasha behilucha. Well, that just simply means more trips. That's not going to be helpful. So in other words, again, this goes back to the Rashi. Rashi says use the deviation, but not to make it harder on you. In fact, Rashi says to make it easier. But certainly if making the shinu is going to make it harder, that's no good. Over here, more trips, that's no good. And and if they're already using small jugs, and now what do you want them to do? Use large jugs? So then kamafshi b'masu, so then it's going to be heavier. And that shinu also is not helpful, because again, it's less trips, but heavier jugs. And techase bin nachtama. And what are you going to do now? You're going to cover the lids, meaning they're normally uncovered, and now you're going to cover it. Zimnan denafa v'asil asuye. So what's going to happen is they're going to fall off, and you're going to end up carrying it. Okay, now we can pause over here for just a moment. They're going to end up carrying it. Remember, it's yontif. Carrying a yontif is okay. So what's the problem with that? What's the problem with carrying it? So it happens to be that this takes us back to a discussion that we had all the way back on Daf Yud Beis, right? Carrying is mutar on yontif. And we have the principle of mitoch. Mitoch shehuchu letzorach, huchu namishalo letzorach. Now, if you recall, so Tosus over there was of the position that there has to be some tzorach. Meaning, even though the Gemara's language is mitoch shehuchu letzorach, huchu namishalo letzorach, but Tosus over there was strongly of the position that there has to be some tzorach. So over here, if I'm carrying the lids and there's no purpose to carrying the lids whatsoever, so that's a violation of yontif. Now, the line of the Gemara that we just read is going to be a little bit more difficult for Rashi, because Rashi over there back on Daf Yud Beis says that there doesn't have to be any tzorach whatsoever. So according to Rashi, so what's the problem if they end up carrying the lids? Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we should do now. Have the women using the jugs with the lids, tie the lids down so that they won't fall off. So the Gemara says, Dimon demifstik vase limikderet. The Gemara says, well, I'll tell you the problem is that then it's going to be untied, and they're going to tie it with a tighter knot, and possibly be in violation of the malach of kosher. And tifra sudra ilave, so the Gemara says, now what? Now let's put some sort of shmata on top of it, like the Gemara suggested moments earlier. So the Gemara says, zimin de mitmish bimaya. Well, what's going to happen is the shmata is going to get saturated with water, and asili de schita, and you're going to end up squeezing it on yantav, which is a violation of yantav. One is not allowed to do the malacha of schita. Hilkach lo efshar, and as a result of that, we just simply don't have a viable way of doing a shinui, and consequently, they'll do it in the normal fashion. Okay, the last line of the Gemara also requires more elaboration, more clarification. The Gemara says, well, if we put a shmata on top, so then it'll lead to schita. Do you know that the Gemara just moments earlier recommended putting a shmata on top, and the Gemara didn't protest at all moments earlier? And meanwhile, over here, when it comes to the women who were using the jugs, so Rav Ashi, in defense of the women, said, "Well, they're gonna use a if they use a shmata, it's gonna get saturated with water, and then they're gonna end up wringing it out, and that's gonna be a violation of schita." Why earlier did the Gemara not mention schita? The Gemara over here mentioned schita. So Tosus is bothered by this very question right here. Tosus on our daf. Tosus makes a distinction. Previously, we were talking about wine. Here, we're talking about water. What Tosfos, by the way, gives more than one answer. I'm presenting the second answer of Tosfos. So what's the difference between wine and water? So it goes to a point that Tosfos is fond to speak about. He speaks about this in a number of places throughout Chas. And that is that not all schitas are the same schita. When I have water that's in my clothing and I'm wringing it out, so that's schita, but that's a schita, a tolada of libun. That's laundering. But when I have wine, for example, and I'm squeezing it out, that's chita as a tolada of dash, not libun, because obviously the wine is not cleaning. It's not cleaning my clothing. Okay, and the difference is very, very fundamental, says Tosfos, because when I'm doing chita as a tolada of libun, so do I care about the water? Obviously not. I don't care about the water. In other words, what I care about is the clothing get clean. So even though I'm squeezing it out and it's holich libun and the water is not going to be collected, it doesn't matter, meaning one is violating the malacha of libun. But when it comes to wine, and you're squeezing out wine is only going to be a problem if I'm interested in the wine. If I'm not interested in the wine, so then it's not going to be a violation of the malacha of the Torah. It may be an issur d'rabbanan, but it's certainly not going to be an issur d'oraisa. Tosfos says that's a fundamental difference between schita of water versus schita of wine. Okay, good. That's... That's Tosus's first answer. Okay, good. Okay. No, good. Good. That's exactly what Tosus says in the first answer. Baruch Shekivanta. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Sorry. Amar le Rava bar Chanin la Abayi Tanan. Okay, let's start with the Mishnah. Okay, this Mishnah, much discussed Mishnah. We're going to see it later in our Masechta, a week from today, Mirtz Hashem. So we're going to see this Mishnah. So Amar le Rava bar Chanin la Abayi Tanan in Metapchin ve'in Mesapkin ve'in Merakdin. The Mishnah is nearly comical, as we just finished Simchas Torah, and we violated every phrase of the Mishnah. So what are you not allowed to do on Yontif? So I'll tell you what you're not allowed to do on Yontif. You're not allowed to clap. You're not allowed to bang your legs. You're not allowed to dance on Yontif. So these are all prohibited activities on Yontif, okay? And Klal Yisrael, right, without exception, so they do all these things on Simchas Torah. Okay, that's... Okay, good. So good. Don't get me wrong, it is a contemporary issue, but this is not a contemporary issue. This goes all the way back to Zman HaGemara. So already in the Gemara, they were ignoring this Mishnah, where they were clapping and dancing. So Amar Leh, so Ula Tamech, so he says, okay, so let me answer your question, not with an answer, but with a question. So Hada Amar Rava, Rabba, so Lo Leisa Vinisha Puma Delechia Duma Migandar Leh Chayfetz, and Asay Lasuye. So the rule is as follows, is that as you're at the edge of the Mavui, right by the Lechi, so don't sit right there at the edge of the Lechi. That's a terrible idea, because that is the border between the Rishus Yach and the Rishus Arabim. I'm assuming right now everyone knows Mavui, Lechi, and Rishus Arabim. And if you don't, so come back again at a later point in time. Well, I'll clarify. But anyway, you're right at the edge of the Rishus Yach, right at the edge between Rishus Yach and Rishus Arabim. There's no real clear demarcation outside of a lechi, outside of a really tiny pole, a thin pole. And meanwhile, so the Chacham said, don't sit at the edge. And meanwhile, v'hani neshei, d'shaklen chatzbayu, v'azlov yas, v'napuma d'mavoa, v'lo arminu v'lo midi. And for whatever reasons, the women decided to park themselves right by the edge, and right here, literally, by the edge. So they're at the edge of the Mavui, right by the Rishus Rabbim, and nobody's protesting, and nobody's saying anything. Okay, so the fact that we're not protesting, so the Gemara says, look, we're not saying that the behavior is legitimate behavior, but sometimes you don't protest, that's all. So the Gemara says, Ella, and in fact, the Gemara says over here, and here we get to a really big line of today's daf. It's huge. So Ella, anach lema yisrael mutav shu shogim vayu mizidim. So the Gemara says that what you're going to do is you're going to leave them alone. Because what are you going to do? You're going to inform them, you're going to tell them that that's not appropriate behavior. So they're not going to listen to you, and now instead of being a shogig, now they're going to be a mazid. So that's worse. So hachanami anach lem yisrael mutav shu shogim vayu mizidim. So and the Gemara says so. Same thing with the clapping and the dancing. So now what are you going to tell them? Oh, there's a Mishnah Beit, so you're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to dance. So now they're going to say thank you very much, and they continue to clap and dance on Yontif. And so now instead of being a shogig, they're going to be a mazid. So that's a terrible idea. So what we're learning now in the Gemara is something amazing, which is that sometimes it's better not to educate. And sometimes it's better not to protest. So the Gemara over here modifies. And the Gemara says, Vahani Mili Bidurabanan. That's only when we're talking about Issa Durabanan. Like the clapping and dancing on Yontov, it's an Issa Durabanan. We'll explain that better in just a moment. And like being at the edge of the Mavui. You're in the Rishus Yachid. You're not violating an Issa Daraisa, but for fear that you're going to just simply cross the threshold and go into Rishus Rabim, so you're not allowed to sit there. But that's an Issa Durabanan. But when it comes to a daraisa, so no. Meaning what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to be quiet. You're not allowed to you're not allowed to ignore things. By a daraisa, you have to say something. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Even though the distinction sounds like a good distinction, the Gemara says it's not true. And how do I know it's not true? Loshna b'daraisa v'loshna b'darabanan. This idea of not reprimanding and not rebuking and not giving tochacha is not limited to the Rabbanan. It's also true by Daraisa as well. Because, I'm rereading. I just lost my train of thought. Loshna b'daraisa v'loshna b'darabanan. Lo amin l'hu v'lo midi. Daha tosef es yom kippurim daraisa. Because the requirement to add to Yom Kippur, right? We talked about this at the end of the Masechta of Yuma. It's a drasha gemura. It is a din daraisa. That what you have to do is you have to attack onto Yom Kippur. Now, how much? So in a moment, we're going to talk about how much to tack onto Yom Kippur. But you got to tack onto Yom Kippur. And meanwhile, And meanwhile, what does everybody do? Everybody continues eating all the way up until right before Yom Kippur. Nobody's doing Tosefes Yom Kippurim. And meanwhile, we don't protest. So even by daraisas, so if you know they're not going to listen, and all you're doing now is turning them from being a shogeg into becoming now a mazid, so you don't protest. Not by darabans, not by daraisas. Okay. Boys, there are a lot to talk about over here, and I'm just not going to cover all the basics, but I'll touch on a couple of basic points over here. Okay, number one, dancing and clapping on Yontif. So the Gemara says it's patently wrong, you're not allowed to do it. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. It's an Issa Durabanan. So why were the Chachamim Oster clapping and dancing on Yontif? So we're going to see this in the Mishnah later on. So it has to do with the fact that if you start clapping and dancing, so you're going to be tempted to now take those musical instruments and fix those musical instruments. Now, clapping and dancing obviously have nothing to do with musical instruments, but that's not perfectly true. Meaning that when you're clapping and dancing, so obviously it means that you're singing, and boy, would it be better if there was instruments over there, right? By every chasna, obviously, it's not a chasna until there is a band playing, right? One man, one man, five man, whatever the case is. So, but you understand that the Chachamim were concerned that this kind of behavior will lead to using instruments. And then playing the instruments themselves is not Issa D'Oraisa, but fixing the instruments is an Issa D'Oraisa. So once we get there, so it's Atu, 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 and we're going to get to the point where we're going to fix the instruments. That's the Issa D'Rabbanan. Good, but it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay, good. So now the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to do it. And again, protesting only turns them from being a shogeg to a mazik because they're not going to change their behavior. So therefore, don't protest. So there is a much discussed Tosfos in today's daf. And that is, Tosfos says that nowadays we clap and we dance. So Aval Tzrichim, I'm sorry. Tosfos Dibra Amasko Tanan Ein Metapchen Ve'Ein Meraktin. Perish Rashi Shami Itakin Klishir, you're going to fix instruments. Umili Didan Share. So Tosfos says for us it's mutter. So it's an irony. Meaning the Gemara says is that don't protest because people aren't going to listen. Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos says, I got a better idea. So let's clap and let's dance on Yontif. And let's just simply say it's no longer Aser. All right, that's the route Tosfos takes. And he says, the dafka b'yamem shayu b'kim lasos klishir shayach lemigzer. Aval lididan einanu b'kim lasos klishir v'lo shayach lemigzer. Where nobody's going to be making instruments nowadays, so there's no reason to make gzera. Good. That's Tosfos over here. So the Tosfos over here opens itself up to a major discussion, and I'm not having the discussion now, but I am just going to raise the basic issue, and that is they have a Gzera D'Rabbanan, and we know what the reason behind the Gzera D'Rabbanan is, and if we can say that the reason no longer applies, so therefore the Gzera no longer applies. Okay, that's right. That's a mouthful, right? That's a lot to unpackage. In fact, right, Phil's reaction is it's not true. Phil's totally right. You go back to a Gemara that we learned in Beitza. Right, you don't have to go to another Masechta. Granted, we learned it a long time ago, 25 days ago, back on Daf Hey. But we learned that the only way that Gzera could be overturned and overruled is only if you have a later Beis Din. Gadol mimenu v'chachma v'minyan, greater in chachma and minyan, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, and in the second parak over there says that Gzera can't be undone unless you have a Beis Din that's gadol mimenu v'chachma v'minyan. And there's a discussion over there between the Rambam and the Ravid whether the Tam is batal and you still need a Beis Din Gadol Hamina B'Chachma V'Minyan. Good. Anyway, but we know it's not true. We know that when it comes to Gzera cannot be repealed unless you have a Beis Din doing so. So Tosfos over here is now just simply repealing a Gzera. So that it's a mouthful. It's a lot. And so it begs a much larger discussion in terms of what justifies Tosfos to say this. Now, he is Tosfos, meaning we're talking about the Balei HaTosfos over here, the Baal HaMasorah. And so they say it. So we can't dismiss what they're saying. But at the same time, however, you got to understand what they're saying. And it's a much lengthier discussion. The discussion is had. I'm just raising the basics over here. One other point I'll bring up. Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Another Tosfos in today's daf. So you got to add to Yom Kippur. How much? You have to add on to Yom Kippur. So it's funny. It's a din d'oraisa to add to Yom Kippur. The Gemara never gives a quantity of how much we have to add. Meaning you have to fast more than just, you have to start fasting before sunset. Okay, good. How much before sunset? We don't know what the shear is. Tosfos writes over here in today's daf. I don't know what the shear is, but there's a shear. So, and the argument of Tosfos is fantastic. Meaning, how do I know that there's a shear? Because the women are not doing it. So, if the shear was, let's say, I don't know, 30 seconds a minute, so how do you know the women are not doing it? It's got to be a significant shear. In other words, there has to be something where it's recognizable, clearly recognizable, that Yom Kippur is starting sometime from now, and we are going to stop eating at a significantly earlier point in time. So there is a shear. So it would be wonderful if somebody came along and told us what that shear is, meaning how much should we add on to Yom Kippur? Okay, various positions amongst Rishonim. It's just so interesting that Zedin D'Oraisa and the Gemara never gives us a shear, and Tosfos is 100% convinced that there is a shear. None of the standard Rishonim give us a shear. Some suggest it's half an hour. Anyway, that's another interesting point by Tosfos. Okay, I'll mention one more thing. I'm on a roll. I'll mention one more thing. The Gemara says that if you know they're not going to listen, so you shouldn't give tochacha. This is very similar to the Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin, thereabouts in the beginning of the Masechta, so has the long discussion regarding tochacha, rebuking and reprimanding other when you see somebody violating an isser. And it's necessary, says the Gemara, meaning it's a pasuk in the Torah. You have to rebuke and you have to reprimand. So this idea that the Gemara says, yes, you do have to reprimand, but don't do it. Because if you do, and you know they're not going to listen, so it's all you're doing is just turning them from being a shogeg to a mezid. Our Gemara over here clearly states that it doesn't matter what the isser is; it's an isser derabban and isser daraisa. The proper approach should be do not reprimand. Okay, that's our Gemara over here. It sounds like the Gemara in Erechin is consistent with our Gemara over here. Again, I'm not referencing the Gemara inside, but see the Gemara in Erechin for more discussion on this idea of tochacha. But meanwhile, however, a number of Rishonim, including the Rush in today's daf. So the Rush writes on our Gemara, if it's an Issa Daraisa that is beferish written in the Torah, so there you do educate, you do inform, and you do reprimand, even if you know they're not going to listen. So the Gemara over here says by Daraisas you don't reprimand. The Gemara is saying that by what example? Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Tosefes Yom Kippurim is an Isser D'Oraisa that's not explicitly stated in the Torah. So there, it's a drasha, and so you have to have somebody who is really committed to Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebaalpeh, and whatever. They could just simply dismiss you. But if it's Torah Shebechsav, so the Rush writes, there you got to reprimand, even if you know they're not going to listen. Okay, the Gemara in Erechin says that most people don't know how to receive tochacha. The Gemara over there in Erechin also says most people don't know how to give tochacha. Okay, it's a fine art, and most people are not good at both sides, the giving and the receiving end. Okay, anyway, there is a lot in today. It's an exciting daf. It's a lot to talk about. Meanwhile, we continue. We are on Lamed Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. Umatchilin ba'areimas ha'tevin. Oh, so now we're going to deal with the confusion of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when it comes to the straw that's piled up and you haven't touched it yet, so on Yontif, go ahead. You could start using that straw for kindling, for animal fodder. It's fine. The wood in the backyard? Oh, no, that you're not allowed to use. If you didn't assign it for Yontif, you're not allowed to use it. And so the Gemara over here articulates the simple question, and that is, Amar Rav Kahana Zosim Res Matchilin Ba'otzer Tchila. So you can go to your storage house, and without having given any kind of designation prior to Yontif, go ahead and take from the storage house, even though it's presumably muksa. Now, money, Rabbi Shimon, he delay say muksa. So now the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, right? Sounds correct. Rabbi Shimon has a much narrower scope of muksa, and our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, but not so fast. I'm a seifa. Avalo be'etzim sheba muksa. The wood in the backyard you're not allowed to use. Why? Because it's muksa. Wait a second. So Asan la Rabbi Yehuda, that brings us to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Dislay Muksa. Okay, so the confusion in our Mishnah. So the straw sounds like Rabbi Shimon. The wood sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, who's the author of our Mishnah? Okay. So the Gemara, just give me a moment. Let me just go through both sides of the Gemara. So the Gemara now is going to take us through both possibilities. Meaning maybe our entire Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, or our entire Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. But then in either way, we got some explaining to do. So Hacha Ba'arzev Ashuche Askinen Demuksa Machmas Chisaron Kis VeAfilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. So one way to explain it is that really our entire Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. What about the wood in the backyard? Special wood, cedar wood. Cedar wood is really expensive. So that now fits into a new category of muksa. It's not new, but a special category of muksa called Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. Rabbi Shimon agrees by Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. I've said this so many times, and right, I have a Gemara now that backs me up. Okay, good. And that is, Rabbi Shimon doesn't reject muksa. I know the language of the Gemara is Rabbi Shimon leisle muksa. He doesn't reject muksa. He just has a narrower frame of muksa. But there are some forms of muksa that are so special and so categorically muksa, so therefore even Rabbi Shimon will agree, and that's muksa machsa michisar kis. So that would be a way of telling us that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon in total, and the wood is muksa machmas chisar kis, where even he's going to agree. Let's go in the other direction. Iga damasni la seifa, and some go in the other direction. And that is avalobe eitzim shibba muksa. You're not allowed to use wood in the backyard. So I'm Rav Kahana zosemersi machilim ba'otsa tchila. So, and Rav Kahana says that you're not allowed to use the wood in the backyard. So money Rabbi Yehuda, he disle muksa. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, ema resha, matchilim ba'arema zateven, asan l'Rabbi Shimon, delesle muksa. What about the straw, where you're allowed to use? So hasan betip nesarya. So the Gemara says, now that's rotted straw. Rotted straw is so bad that you have no plans on saving it or preserving it, meaning even Rabbi Yehuda, who's a machmir, but when it comes to rotted straw, there's no other usage other than kindling, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that's not muksa, meaning that was, everyone understands that once the straw is rotted, it's for the kindling. So the Gemara says, Tivne Sarya Hachazalitina. Gemara says, is that true? Like, aren't we using it for the mortar and construction? So the Gemara says, no, we're not. Dispe kotzim. Now, we're not going to, it's got thorns in it. So it's straw that's got thorns in it. There's only one usage for it, and that's going to be the kindling. And so therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that would be fine. That would be acceptable. Sorry. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that's fine and that's acceptable, and it's not going to be muksa. So there basically are two different pathways in terms of how to explain the Mishnah. Either our Mishnah is cooler Rabbi Shimon, and the wood in the backyard is muksa because it's muksa machmas chisar and kiss. Alternatively, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, that muksa is a thing. It just happens to be that the straw is, it has no other function whatsoever. Even without it being assigned, it's of course used for kindling because it's rotted straw and there's no other usage for it. Yeah, Ben.
The question is, if you had the wood stored in a storage place in your backyard, isn't that designated so that you're going to actually, you designate it for that?
Yeah, so the tension over here is that, yes, it's designated, but it's designated right now for storage. Meaning that I totally understand your question. So in other words, in order for something not to be muksa on yantiv, you have to have assigned its usage for yantiv. You have to say that I'm using it for yantiv. By virtue of the fact that you're putting it in storage means I'm using it for a later point in time. If in fact, when you put it away, you say I'm using it for yantiv, that's great. Over here, it's just simply the case in point over here is that you are just simply storing it for a later point in time. At that point in time, now it's muksa. Okay. Good. On to the Amud Beis. Lamed Amud Beis. We start with the Mishnah. And the second half of today's daf, also a unit in of itself. A very, very organized daf today. Ein notlin eitzim in a sukkah, ela min ha-samachla. Don't take wood from a sukkah, but rather from that which is proximate to the sukkah. So, a couple points to clarify right at the beginning of our discussion over here. When we say sukkah, we don't mean sukkah. Meaning. I know that's confusing. I'm aware. So, but anyway, we're talking about a hut. Okay, that's all. In other words, a hut that you're using on yantiv. Now, there are three yantivs to choose from. So over here, let's pass sukkah. In other words, I know that's when we have our sukkah. But you can have a hut during any of the other yantivs. Okay, you can also have a hut in Shmini Atzeres. In fact, we sit in a hut on Shmini Atzeres. But, okay, neither here nor there. Anyway, but we could sit in a hut on Shavuos, and you could sit in a hut on Pesach. It's fine. And that's what we're discussing over here. It says Rashi. First Rashi on the Mishnah. Kigon Pesach, Obat Zeres, V'yoshe B'sukkah, B'gina U B'pardes, Ein Notlin Eitzin Min HaSukkah, Ela Min HaSamachla, Hashta Mashma, Im Hu'av, Shenasnu Kanim, Harbe Mutali Tol Mehem, V'gmar Parcha, HaSasar A'olam. Okay, so over here, here's the issue that our Mishnah is dealing with, and that is the following. It's not Sukkahs. And in a moment, we're going to clarify why it can't be sukkahs. It's not sukkahs. But you have a hut outside, and you lay the schach on strong. Now, I'm using the word schach over here in a non-halachic manner. Just whatever, the roofing of your hut. You lay the schach on really thick. And now it happens to be that you want to make a fire, right? And you want to grill a little bit, and you want to take some wood. Hey, you know what? That's a lot of wood on the schach. That's a lot of schach on top. Let's take off a little bit and use it for our firewood. So what the Mishnah is telling us is you're not allowed to do that. However, if it's samuch, if it's proximate, that you are allowed to. Okay, so now that we have the basic idea down, so what's the issue over here in our Mishnah? The issue is that once I start taking wood off the top, so what I'm doing now is what's called stiras ohel. I'm starting to take down a tent. Now, taking down a tent on Shabbos and Yantav is a malacha. It's a malacha of stira, right? There's binyan, there's construction, and there's stira, and there's deconstruction. And so, therefore, anything connected to the ground, where now I am undoing it, so that's what's called stira. So, but the Gemara says over here, good. So I now have the basic idea of the Mishnah. So what does the Mishnah say that what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take minas samachla? So that's what the Gemara is looking to clarify. So Mishnah, minas sukkah, delo de kasasar Allah. So over here, taking from the sukkah, like I described moments earlier, so that's a stira. That is the act of stira. Oh, better stated. Okay, now, minas samachla nami kasasar Allah. So I don't understand if the wood is proximate. Now, proximate over here means still connected to the sukkah, isn't that also stira? So I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmua, my samach, samach ledefanos. Ah, so the Gemara says like this. No. When we're talking about the second half of the Mishnah, it's not talking about the wood that's on the schach, it's talking about the wood that's next to the walls. The wood that's next to the walls, if I take it away and there's still some wall remaining, so that's not considered stira. So somehow, if you're taking excess wood from the top, even though there's still schach underneath it, that's stira sohel. If I'm taking schach off the walls, and there's as long as there's still wall remaining, that's not considered stira. Okay, there still needs more explanation why one is stira and why the other one is not stira, but I think intuitively, I think we understand. Meaning, on the vertical side, in other words, the wall still remains an independent entity, even though I took some of the thickness away. As opposed to the horizontal, so no. In other words, there's something intuitive about the distinction. Rav Menashe Amar Afilu Tema B'Shein Samach L'Defanos Kitanya Hi Be'Asuraisa. So, and the Gemara gives a second response for Rav Menashe, and that is no. The second phrase of the Mishnah is also talking about the schach on top. Why is it not stira sohel? It's bundled. Okay. Now, I know it's confusing because in Sukkah we spent a lot of time talking about using bundled schach or the prohibition of using bundled schach. But again, we're not talking about Sukkah right now in the Sukkah sense. We're just talking about a hut. And if the schach that you laid on top, that extra schach that you laid on top is bundled, it's not considered part and parcel of the hut, and therefore removing it is not going to be a violation of stira. That's the second approach of the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Kamed Rav Yochanan Eino Lenetzim Min HaSukkah Ela Min HaSamachla. Okay, so the Gemara now quotes a braisa, where the braisa says that you can't take the wood from the sukkah, but only from samachla. And Rabbi Shimon Matim, Rabbi Shimon says it would be mutter. V'shavim b'sukkah sachag b'chag she'asura. Now, they agree that if we're talking about a sukkah on sukkah, what we refer to as a sukkah, so they agree that it's going to be asur. V'im hisna ala kol lefi tano. And if you make it tonight, so then everything is going to be according to the tonight. Okay, so lots of explaining to do in this braisa. So the Gemara is now going to take apart this braisa bit by bit. So Rabbi Shimon Matirs, Rabbi Shimon says, nah, you can go ahead and you can start undoing your sukkah. Again, I say sukkah over here, it means a hut. So the Gemara says, what is Rabbi Shimon talking about? Veha kasasar olo. That's called stiras ohel. You're not allowed to do that. It's a malacha. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hacha besukkah nofela saskinan. So over here, now we're not talking about where the hut is intact. The hut collapsed. Okay? Happened to me. Okay, 2005. We had a hurricane here in Florida. I decided that my sukkah is going to be able to withstand the hurricane. Okay, I was wrong. Okay, we're talking about a collapsed hut. And now, we're talking about a collapsed hut. So taking the wood from there is no longer an issue of stiras ohel. The ohel is already nistar. It's on the ground. And so what the issue over here is the issue of muksa. Oh, okay, fine. And Rabbi Shimon Latame Delese Muksa. And we know this is Rabbi Shimon, as we have discussed already in today's Amud Aleph, right? Muksa is a big topic here in Beitza. And today's daf alone, we discussed it twice on the Amud Aleph and on the Amud Beis. And Rabbi Shimon is seriously limited in terms of his definition of muksa. This doesn't fall under this category of muksa. So, Detanya Moser Hashem and Shebener Veshekavashebekara also Rabbi Shimon Matir. A classic source of where we see Rabbi Shimon being makel when it comes to muksa is oil in the lamp. You lit the lamp going into Shabbos, and then the lamp went out, and you have a little bit of extra oil on the bottom of the lamp. Okay, so now I want to use it for a little bit of salad dressing. Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. I don't know how appealing or appetizing it is, but it's fine. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's not fine. Again, here's a classic example of muksa. And now the Gemara says, midami. So the Gemara says, look, that's a classic example of muksa, but boy, is that not comparable. So aha, samadam yoshev emetzap emesad tifka nero. So over there, when lighting the lamp going into Shabbos, so there, you're kind of hoping that there's going to be a little bit of excess oil at the end. So you're looking forward to it. So Rabbi Shimon's a mekel by muksa, but only when there's some anticipation. But over here, a person's hoping that a sukkah will come down. I assure you, I was not hoping that my sukkah would come down. I assure you, cleanup took a really long time. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachma Yisukacha b'sukkah re'u'a askinan deme esmol daite ilave. So the Gemara gives an ukimta over here. Hey, your sukkah was dilapidated, and you're kind of hoping that's going to come down. Okay, it's an ukimta. It's an ukimta. All right, fine. So v'shavim b'sukkah zachai b'chad shi'asura v'him isna'aleha kol lefitano. Now we move on to the next part of the brisa, and that next part of the brisa also needs clarification. And that is that if we're talking about a sukkah on sukkah, so then it's asur, but if you make a condition, so then your condition is going to be valid. The Gemara says, what? So umim ahani ba tanai v'amar rav sheshes mishim Rabbi Akiva minayin la'atzi sukkah sh'asun kol shiva shenem rechaga sukkah shiva yamim la Hashem v'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir omer minayin shekashem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga kach chal shem shemayim ala sukkah tamalam rechaga sukkah shiva yamim la Hashem achag la Hashem av sukkah la Hashem. Your sukkah is a carbon. Now in a vacuum, that sentence makes no sense, but based on the series of drushas that we went through, two drushas that I read too quickly, but two drushas that we just went through. So yeah, your sukkah has a shame mitzvah on it, more than just a shame mitzvah, a shame karban on it. It's kadosh. And just like a karban is a unredeemable object of sanctity, it's a chayfetz of kedusha. The same thing is true regarding your sukkah. And wait just one second. And you can't, what are you going to do now? Right, I'm going to be makdish my carbon. Oh, but let me make it tonight. It doesn't work that way. Meaning, once your carbon has a chalos, once that has a status of being a carbon, it's a carbon. And the same thing is true regarding your sukkah. Your sukkah, at least for the 7 days of sukkahs, is like a carbon. And what are you going to do now? You're going to make a tonight? You're going to make a condition? Oh, that it's okay? That's a strong question. Yes, Ben?
I thought it was a tashmish mitzvah, right?
No. It's not. It's more.
More?
Yeah, more. The Gemara says it. The Gemara just described it as like a carbon chagiga. So Amar Rav Menashe Berei Derava Seifas on the Sukkah Dama. So Rav Menashe gives an answer and he says, okay, so we're gonna the brisa is gonna be a little bit choppy, but we're at this juncture of the brisa, we're going back to a regular hut, meaning not a sukkah hut of sukkahs, but we're talking about the hut back on Pesach and back on Shavuos. Granted, it's a choppy way to read the brisa, but you have to do that. Aval sukkah de mitzvah lo mahani ba tanai. V'sukkah de mitzvah lo. So the Gemara says, fine. So a sukkah on sukkahs, there's no condition that's going to help. The Gemara says, okay. On one hand, I accept. On the other hand, I'm going to push back a little bit. V'atani b'lo tanai b'raisa. Sichacha keochasa. So now you made your sukkah. Okay, right. The Gemara over here is almost timely. It's just 1 week too late. But you made your sukkah and you put schach on. And good. V'itra. And now the decorations, the sukkah decorations, bikram, mamuvis adim nahamutsuyarim, vitalaba, gozim shkedim afarsikim, virimonim, parachile anavim, yenoshmanim, slasus, vaterishi balim. So, and your sukkah decorations abound with murals and fruit and wheat and oil. Now, I know that's funny, by the way. In other words, some people put plastic clusters of grapes as part of their decoration, but bizman ha gemara, you know what their decorations were? It was actual fruit. An actual flour, an actual oil, and aser li stopik mehem ad motzei yom tov ha'achron shel chag. And now, because they are part of your sukkah decoration, they take on the status of your sukkah, which means they are muksa limitzvasa. So, despite the fact that that apple hanging from my sukkah right now looks delicious, okay, it looks delicious, but you can't have it. However, says the brisa, im hisna aleim akol lefitano. Now, you can make it tonight, and that condition will tell you that going into Yontif, if I say, look, that apple's my sukkah decoration, but it's also dessert. Tomorrow night, all right, when we have our second meal, it's going to be dessert. So, it works. Tonight works. So the Gemara says, I'm good and confused. You told me that you can't make a Tanai, and now I'm coming back at you with a Braisa that says that you can make a Tanai on your Sukkah. Hopefully you already figured out the answer. The Gemara spells out the answer. Abai v'rava d'amri tavayu ba'omer eini bodel me'em kol ben ha'shmashos d'lo chala kedusha alayu. Ava atzei Sukkah d'chala kedusha alayu is katzai l'shiva. Gemara says, there's a Sukkah and there's no Sukkah. So when it comes to the Sukkah itself, the actual wood that's constructed and made in building the Sukkah, so the actual edifice of the Sukkah, so that's something that you cannot make a Tanai on, meaning that is unconditionally kadosh. And therefore, you can't go ahead and take any of the wood from the Sukkah, from the Schach, that's all going to have a shame hektish. By the way, the drasha over here is going on what parts of the Sukkah? Is it going on the walls? Is it going on the Schach? That was the discussion we had back on Daf Tes in Sukkah. Rashi over there, if I remember correctly, I did not check. But if I remember correctly, Rashi over there says it's only going on the schach, not on the walls. Our Gemara makes it sound a little bit more like it's going on the walls as well. Okay, anyway. But on the actual Sukkah itself, it's unconditional. But on the Noi Sukkah, so there you can throw in a condition. However, the condition has to go in prior to Sukkahs. And prior to Sukkot, basically what you're going to say is as follows. The Gemara said, Omer eini bodel mehem kol ben hashmashos. That basically, I am not segregating myself from the Noi Sukkah during the ben hashmashos, meaning the status of Kaddish, of Hektish, kicks in during the ben hashmashos. And what you could do is that you could say that I am not separating myself from the Noi Sukkah during that period of time. Again, you can't do that with the Schach itself because that's unconditional. But with the Noi Sukkah, it is conditional. And the reason why it's conditional is because as much as it's part of the Sukkah, it's not part and parcel of the Sukkah. And so therefore, you can make it tonight regarding the Noi Sukkah. Good. And then one last question for today's daf, and that is back to what we learned regarding the Esrog. Esrog also is Huksa L'mitzvasa. Now, what do we know regarding the esrog? So if a person buys 7 esrogim, so here for shiva esrogim, shiva sayamim, and now with every day of sukkah, so he's got a new esrog. Okay. I know people who buy extra aravos. I know a lot of people who buy extra aravos, right? Because they need to replenish. I don't know anyone who buys an extra esrog. Good. But if this person now bought 7 esrogim, and for the 7 days of yontif, so I'm a rav kol achas v'achas yotzei bava ochla la'alter. So according to Rav, what you could do is after you fulfill the mitzvah, then what you could do is you could cut your esrog and add it to your salad. Okay? And Rav Asi, Amar Kol Achas Yotzei Bava Ochla Lamachar. Now Rav Asi takes a somewhat more stringent position, but not much more. And that is that for the rest of today's Huksa L'mitzvasa. But for the next day, you could take yesterday's esrog and use it for your salad. And now the Gemara's question basically is like this. When the Sukkah is Huksa L'mitzvasa, it covers the entirety of Sukkot all 7 days. When the esrog is huksa l'mitzvasa, assuming that you have another esrog for tomorrow, so then it's only muksa for 1 day. Okay, it's not a terribly strong question. You probably also already intuited the answer. So hasam de mafsike leilos miyamim kol chavechad yuma mitzvah ba'apei nafshehu. Hacha de lo mafsike leilos miyamim kulo yoma kechad yuma arich de dami. Answers the Gemara, you have to look at Sukkot as a continuum, because it is a continuum. Meaning the mitzvah of Sukkot goes the first night, first day. Second night, second day. There is no break. There's no interruption when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkot, as opposed to Esrog. The mitzvah of Esrog, and that, for that matter, Dala Minim, is only during the day, not at night. And so therefore, for every day of Sukkot, there is a built-in separation between one day and the next. And provided that you have another Esrog for tomorrow, so today's Esrog now will terminate at the conclusion of its usage or the conclusion of the day, either way. But there's a basic difference between Dalaminim and that of Sukkah. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Huge daf today. A lot of basic topics coming up in Beit HaDaf Lamed. Okay, number one, our first topic today was, again, a continued discussion of Uvda Dechol, and the idea that you have to do a Shinui. If you can't do a Shinui, okay, fine, you can't do a Shinui. It led to the Gemara's discussion of, you know, our women, so they're drawing the water and they're not doing a shinui. So the first thing the Gemara says is, okay, they're ain breira. In other words, there's no shinui that was available. The Gemara went through an assortment of shinuim that maybe would work, but the Gemara rejects because those shinuim involved extra labor, and that's not a good shinui. That's not acceptable shinui. And then the Gemara will also launch into another topic of, and you know, generally speaking, if we see them doing something that's incorrect, you shouldn't protest. Mutav shi yishogim v'ayu mizidim. Better that they remain in a state of shogeg and not be amazed. If you know they're going to listen, if they're interested in the tochacha, so then of course give it to them. But otherwise, don't correct them if they're not going to listen. The Gemara thought on this topic, on this all important topic, maybe there's a difference between Daraisa and Darabanan. Gemara says there is no difference between Daraisa and Darabanan. Even by Daraisa, the Gemara gives Tosefes Yom Kippur as an example. Again, Rishonim of the Rosh on today's daf said that if it's a Daraisa Hakasa Bekra, so then you should give Tochacha. Okay. On the end of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, a clarification of our Mishnah, the straw in the front of the house is not Muksa. The wood in the back of the house is Muksa. Is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi Yehuda? It's confusing. The Gemara gave both approaches. Either our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon and we have to explain the wood in the back, or our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda and we have to explain the straw in the front. Good. On the Amud Beis of today's daf. So taking wood from a sukkah. Now, the Mishnah admittedly is really confusing because it says the word sukkah, but it's not talking about sukkah in the classic sense. It's talking about just simply a hut, on yontif, meaning either Shavuos or Pesach. Taking wood away would be stiras oha. Good. The point of the Mishnah is that the wood on top, so any amount that you take off is going to be stiras oha. But the wood on the side, if what you're just taking off is some of the thickness, but there still remains some, so then that would be okay, the difference between the vertical and the horizontal. Although, admittedly, that was just one approach of the Gemara actually has a second approach, which happens to be that we didn't go over as part of the review. And finally, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa brings down a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not Stiras Oel is okay. The Gemara could not believe that that actually is subject to a debate. Stiras Oel is an Issa D'Oraisa, according to everybody. So the Gemara says that the Sukkah caved in. And over here, it's just a muksa question. And again, going back to the classic debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, whether or not you accept a larger or smaller scope of muksa. And finally, the last part of the Braisa, which is that you are not allowed to take any of the sukkah on sukkahs, because that is considered a dvar hekdesh. And so therefore, for the 7 days of sukkah, you can't use it. You can't use it, and a tanai is going to be ineffective, because it is unconditionally kadosh. And then the Gemara makes a distinction between the actual sukkah itself and the nois sukkah. By a nois sukkah, tanai would in fact work.